want to welcome everybody to this week's episode of In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and Golfer Gal is taking the week off preparing for the big THP HQ move. So instead, we have Jim from Golf Tech here to fill in, and it's a conversation I've wanted to have for a while. But first off, let me welcome Jim to the show.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks for having me.
You know, we do a lot with Golf Tech, and a lot of readers have come on our forum and our website and commented on how they enjoy the fitting process, the instruction process, and everything else. Mm-hmm. However, there's a core group that look at Golf Tech and say, I don't hit well indoors, or I need to see ball flight. Mm-hmm. You know, Golf Tech has a lot of indoor centers around the country. How do you combat that and have activities outdoors for people?
It's a great question. It is one we hear all the time too. Every center in the country has something set up with a facility that's outside. I know up here in Minnesota, we use Manitou Ridge for our Roseville Center and Deer Run for three of our other four centers. So we try to have good relationships so that we can get outside because, yes, ball flight is important. You want to see the results of the work that you've done indoors played out on the golf course. And, you know, the idea of whatever we're trying to do at Golf Tech, whether it's getting a new set of golf clubs or getting a new swing, is to be able to use that out on the golf course. So we have to, at some point, get you outside. We've got to do short game lessons. We've got to do bunker lessons. We've got to do playing lessons, and we do all of those.
Now, we're up in your neck of the woods compared to where we are in Florida. You know, mm-hmm. The golf season is in full swing.
Right.
So, you know, down here, sometimes people will say, well, it's too hot. I like the inside. Now that the golf season is in full swing, how much do you think percentage-wise you're teaching outdoors compared to in?
It's about 40% is outdoors, 30 to 40%. It's funny that you talk about how hot. We've had the hot streak of over the 90s, and it's reminded me of the 3 years I lived in Tampa. It's been really warm up here. When it is really hot, then you can get indoors again into the air conditioning and get in front of the cameras and get some practice done on what is a fundamental issue or maybe a position that you need to get into so that when it does cool down a little bit, you can go back outside. But up here, really, it's about 40% where we're doing playing lessons. As I said, take 2 or 3 hours to go out on a golf course and talk strategy. We also want to find out if they're actually doing what we know they can do in the bay. A lot of times we see people make a change inside. They may even be able to make that change on the range when we do sort of full swing or target practice out on the range, but they don't quite take it to the golf course. Sometimes that there are you get into situations where your brain triggers other memories and you go into your old swing. So we got to coach them to make sure that they're using the things that we've done. If it does get too hot, you know, we also have foresight launch monitors that we can work on short game and really target things on indoors. Foresight's probably the best launch monitor I've seen where we can, it's very accurate. So, and not only weather if it gets hot, but if you get one of those days when it's absolutely pouring rain up here, which we do get, you still want to work on your game. You can do it both indoors and outdoors.
Now, you know, when somebody signs up for a lesson package, do they have to pick one or the other? Can they do a combination? Does the golf coach work with them to, you know, work on both sides?
Well, it's a comprehensive thing. We want basically people's goals are to play better. I mean, when you ask a student in their evaluation, what is your goal? You know, the first answer we get is I want to be more consistent. Well, when you drum that down, you hear that they want to score better. So when we're working with a student, we're not just necessarily going to make sure that their backswing looks a certain way or that their impact conditions are right. It's for the objective of putting the ball in the hole in fewer strokes. So comprehensively, when we're talking about doing lessons, they're sequential. So some might be backswing, some might be putting lessons, some might be indoor. So it really doesn't, you have to get into a plan with the student as to how you're going to get to a goal, and it almost automatically includes outdoor stuff.
Now, one of the things that I've always liked about Golf Tech is I'm a big believer in launch conditions. Mm-hmm. And maximizing a golf swing because it's so readily available to the consumer and amateur golfer like it had been for tour pros in the past. And, you know, in my time at Golf Tech, I've been able to maximize that to the best of my abilities. And when I take that onto the course, it's helped me quite a bit. Now, when you're setting up with a student outdoors, because they prefer outdoors, do you have the ability to work with them on the range so they can see the ball flight, et cetera?
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes ball flight can fool you, but if you've been working with somebody long enough, or if you've worked with a certain part of their game long enough, you want to show them the results. So you do want to show them ball flight, not only to show them when things are going well, but you're not always going to be there. The coach isn't going to be standing next to you every time you play, so you've got to know what caused this based on what you've seen on the video and now what you see in ball flight. And you got to put the two together and learn how to self-diagnose and how to make subtle corrections on a golf course. You don't want to try making major changes.
Now, you bring up an interesting point about the subtle corrections on the golf course, because we just finished our THP outing, and, you know, a lot of people get excited about our outings and they work on their game a lot. And, you know, you see them off to the side, working on their swing as they're trying, you know, to fix things on the course.
Sure.
I always relate that to playing golf swing rather than just playing a round of golf.
Mm-hmm.
How do you combat a student doing that who's used to working indoors and then some outdoors and saying, you got to trust it, or you have to stop playing golf swing and actually play the game of golf?
Yeah, you actually have to practice that. I mean, just as much as you have to practice your top position, or you have to practice your putting, you have to practice letting go. You have to get out on the golf course, and that's why we do playing lessons. We've got to get them to realize. I mean, I joke with my clients all the time. I say, when we're on the golf course, I don't care if you fall down. If the ball goes where you want it to go, that's a success. But when you get out on the golf course, the object of Golf Tech is to not create a 100-point checklist that you have to check off and you'll play better golf. It's to change motor patterns. Well, the only way you're going to know you've actually changed them is to try to trust it. But that takes practice. You've got to focus on a pre-shot routine, focus on where you want the ball to go. A lot of people are pretty analytical, and you know, it's nice to have somebody who's analytical. They want to know certain points of their swing. But when you get out on a golf course, you should be analyzing wind conditions. You should be analyzing the slope. You should be analyzing ball position, you know, the lie that you have, trying to figure out what club you have. And all of that should be taking up your mind. You know, not as my backswing 2 inches under plane.
I agree. Now, what are the benefits? You know, we've talked about indoor and outdoor. What are the benefits of an indoor lesson versus an outdoor lesson, and vice versa?
Yeah, indoor lesson, you're controlling the environment. So there isn't any outside influence of wind. You've got a perfect lie every time. You're really not all that concerned with anything other than the positions in the strike to change the motor pattern. And it's a learning environment. It's a classroom. That's what the indoor is for, and people aren't three times faster with video. And so using the video indoors, getting that initial feedback, doing it in 30 minutes so that you don't overwhelm the brain, that's the process of the stages of learning that people go through: imprint, repetition, habituation, variation. And being indoors, that's the advantage. You can make larger, more overall changes, or you can become more repeatable within variances indoors better. Outdoors, the advantage is you get to put it in practice. The advantage is you get to learn how to turn off, if you're really doing it right, how to turn off the golf swing and make it play. The advantage here in Minnesota is you actually get to get outside, which is kind of nice because, you know, we spent half of the year bundled up indoors. But the advantage of the outdoor stuff is it gives both the coach and the student a new perspective, saying, okay, this is why we've been doing this indoors. You can see what's happening.
Now, you touched on practice and how, you know, people, there's a time and a place, and you can't go to lessons, you know, once a month, once a week, whatever it is, and then just go to the course and have it translate, and how important right. practice is. What do you recommend during the golf season? Do you recommend practicing indoors, practicing outdoors? If you're living in a cold climate like you are, do you recommend somebody still coming in and using the facilities, or do you recommend somebody going outside and practicing on a range?
Both. I think one of the biggest problems people have isn't that they are, you know, people don't improve not because they don't get good information, whether they're with Golf Tech or anybody else. They don't improve because most of the time they don't practice correctly. And they may know what they're supposed to be practicing, but how to do it is completely lost at times. You do have to spend time a little bit. I mean, if you're taking two lessons a month indoors, or a lesson a month indoors and a lesson a month outdoors, you need to spend maybe a couple hours indoors if it's a mechanic that you're working on. If I've been working with a student for a couple of years, I may have them come in once or twice a month just to make sure that the positions are being maintained that we worked on. But when you go out onto the golf course, if you go out to the range, you should be spending a minimum of 50% of your time on short game. And yet we see 70% of their time people are banging drivers. You only get 14 of those around. But you really got to be working on your short game. When you do practice full swing at the range, there's a couple of things that I like to teach my students to practice: target practicing or a mechanic separately, and never do them in the same session. And don't let your sessions really go more than about 40 minutes, because then you start getting the laws of diminishing return start to kick in. If you're going to practice target practicing, you really are doing the same type of thing you're doing on a golf course. You're practicing where, changing up your targets, where you want to hit. Don't really care too much if you fall down, if the ball goes where you want it to go. That's a different type of practice session. The other practice session is practicing mechanic, trying to take the things that you've seen indoors and that you and your coach have worked on and positions that you want to be in. One of the more common ones is people crossing the line at the top or getting too long at the top. So there's a drill called the pause drill, which we use a lot, where you literally stop at the top of your backswing, check your positions, and go. That would be the type of practice you'd want to do if you were doing a mechanic. And a good way to remind yourself of that is to literally put a piece of paper on the ground in front of you with the mechanic that you're working on, whether it's top position or hips or whatever, and put it in your eyesight by where your balls are going to be. And just to remind yourself, don't do anything other than that. And don't worry about, did I miss the target 5 feet or 10 feet? Am I actually doing the positions correctly? And like I said, those are two very different ways to practice. But those are much better than people running up and down their bag, hitting three shots with their wedge and hitting. Yeah, that's warming up and certainly not banging drivers all day.
Now, you brought up an interesting story, and I'm not going to bore the listeners too much with my history of this crazy game, but, I've taken natural ability to, a 4 or 5 handicap, gotten it all the way down to a 2, but recently playing with some better players and tour players, I was told I've capped out. I reached where I could go, and it was time to seek help, and I've done that. And one of the biggest issues I had was taking steps backward to get better. And as soon as I got on the course, I would work on the new swing. And once I got to a certain point where I hit a poor shot with the new swing or it just didn't feel comfortable, I always reverted back to what I had before because too much pride, I guess, cared in my score. What do you say to somebody in that inside-outside routine of how can they take what they're getting and see improvements before they go backwards?
Well, you've got to, first of all, set the expectation with the student. You've got to let them know, especially if they were a better player like yourself, that there might be a little bit of step backward. All you got to do is look at Tiger. I mean, Tiger has gone, 2 years? Now all of a sudden he's got 3 wins? You're going to take a step backwards, and it is going to be uncomfortable. And just like you figured out, you're not trusting it is going to make you want to step back into an old habit. And you need somebody. You need a coach to help talk you through that because it is hard. It's hard for everybody. I've taught completely different golf swings over my career, whether it was, down in Florida at Innisbrook or here at Golf Tech and other places in between. So I've actually changed my swing. And it's hard. But you have to play through the pain is sort of the way I describe it. But as long as you set the expectation first and knowing that, hey, this is a long-term process, this isn't a short-term fix, then you should be okay. But honestly, most of our students aren't in that 2 to 4 range where they, the ego kind of takes over. We have a lot of 15, 18 handicaps where, if they take a two-stroke step backwards, it's not that big of a deal to them because we can quickly get them back to an 11 or a 10 or an 8.
Now, something that just popped into my head that we hadn't addressed in our talk of inside-outside before I took us off on my wild tangent of the game, my game of golf. Practicing short game. You brought it up. You said you should be doing it 50% of the time. How does that work, and how does course management fit into that when you're practicing indoors?
Well, what we do indoors is use four-sight launch monitors, and we can – it's not a simulator. It's literally a launch monitor, but we can pull up different yardages on the range, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So we can dial in using your tempo and your ball speed, and then using the video to say, you know, this is really a 50% swing, and this is maybe, you know, from 50 yards, you're a gap wedge for the 50% swing. Well, we can dial that in. We can also talk about, okay, it's, you know, 40 degrees of shoulder turn for you. And we can use that indoors to make that repeatable and repeatable and repeatable. And when that happens, then it starts to become a little bit more automatic. You say, okay, I was in the bay all winter. I had students that were doing that all winter long this year, where we worked only from 100 yards and in using the four-sight launch monitor. And the idea was not only to get them to understand how, you know, what their swing is supposed to feel like and look like, but what club to use, what's the most effective from that yardage. So now if they're standing out in the middle of the fairway 50 yards out on a par 5 because they, you know, laid up too close, they know, okay, this is my gap wedge and this is my 50% swing, and I can trust it.
Well, you know, I want to thank you first for coming on and clearing up the idea of golf tech being only inside or not being able to really see ball flight inside and how it changes for each golfer and how you guys are able to offer a service that includes both. I also want to thank you for filling in for Golfer Gal this week, and sure, we will be back next week with another show. For myself and Jim from Golf Tech, I want to thank everybody. Goodbye, everybody.